The Bible tells us several things very clearly about the nature of sin. It tells us, first of all, that as long as we are still in this flesh, we will continue to sin, even as Christians. The only way that we will finally be free of sin is when we die, when we have put off this flesh once and for all. Anyone who thinks, therefore, that they have stopped sinning, even while in this life, is in a very dangerous position indeed, in danger of falling away from God entirely. Because as John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The Bible also tells us very clearly that our sin is never a good thing. Even the smallest sin that we commit rightly deserves the judgment of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also says very clearly, Christians, that there can be differences between sins. Not all sin is the same. Yes, it's true that all sins deserve judgment, but the Bible shows us that some sins are worse than others. Consider what John says in 1 John chapter 5. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. So how do we fit all of this together? How do we fit together that all sin deserves judgment, and yet not all sin is alike? What does John mean by sin which leads to death and sin which does not? Well, the difference between them, Christians, first of all, is not a matter of degree, as if it's only the big sins that are the sins that actually lead to death. Murder, for example, is a big sin, and a very serious one indeed. But even the murderer who repents and turns toward God can find forgiveness. And Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, tells us that even being angry with our brother, without a good reason, breaks the fifth commandment. So the murderer who repents will go to heaven, but the one who holds on to his anger and refuses to repent will go to hell. The difference is not how big the sin is. Even the smallest sin may lead to death. The difference between them is also not a matter of frequency, as if it's only the sins that happen the most often that are those that lead to death. Sin done frequently is a problem, to be sure. If we continue doing something, if we persist in something, it will be all that much harder to stop doing it. But even a sin which is done once can lead to death. And there is freedom in the gospel for someone who has sinned for years. So while we should not continue doing sins over and over again, that is not what makes it a sin unto death. The difference between them, Christians, is actually a combination of two things: our conscience and our willingness to listen. Because our conscience normally tells us what is right and what is wrong. The conscience comes from God. It is a gift that he gives to all people, even those that don't believe in him. And when we listen to our conscience, we will know what we should do and what we should not do. But the problem is that our conscience is not perfect. Not because God gave us something defective, but because of our sin. We don't always know what we ought to know. So the conscience is something that can learn. It is something that can grow. The conscience can be taught by God's word to know what is truly good and what is truly evil. But But this also means that it is possible to sin in ignorance, to do something even though you didn't know that it was wrong. You just didn't know any better. And in a case like that, especially for young Christians, those who are young in their faith, it is still sin. We don't want to make any mistake about that. Ignorance is no excuse for sin. But when they are confronted by it, they turn away from that sin. And they repent of it. And then grow in their conscience to turn away from it in the future. That's one example of a sin that does not lead to death. But on the other hand, a Christian may know perfectly well what God wants them to do. And they can be shown very clearly God's will from the Scriptures, and yet still refuse to do it. Either because they're sinning deliberately against God's word, or even sinning against their conscience. They know better, but they do it anyway. This kind of deliberate sin is what John is talking about when he talks about a sin which leads to death. Take David, for example, in the case of Bathsheba. Had David died before Nathan rebuked him for that sin, he would have died in his sins. Knowing what God wants and deliberately doing the opposite is what we're talking about here. In a nutshell, it's when we sin in pride. Someone who has committed a sin which leads unto death has no desire to repent. They will not admit that they have done wrong, and they will refuse to listen to what God says. And any sin, Christians, no matter how small it is, or even if it's done in ignorance, can become a sin leading unto death when we refuse to repent, to confess that sin, and to turn back towards God. Take our epistle reading for today as an example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking to the Corinthian congregation. And Corinth was a congregation which had a lot of problems. But the biggest problem which they had was their pride. They were convinced that they were very spiritual people. They were convinced that they were practically perfect Christians. They thought they could do no wrong. They thought that they perfectly knew what they should do and what they should not do. They thought that everything that they were doing was pleasing to God. And they thought that they were spiritually mature, even more so than Paul himself. But Paul shows them that they were really spiritual babies. They didn't know as much as they thought they did. As he says, starting in verse 3, "For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh, and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" Jealousy and strife are not fruits of the Spirit. They are part of the world. And as long as this was what the Corinthians were doing, as long as this was part of their congregation, were they really so advanced as they claimed to be? Had they really understood what it means to be one body in Christ, so that they no longer had to be taught as they thought? If they were new Christians, this would be very understandable. They would still be learning what it means to be a Christian, and therefore they could be shown the truth, turn away from their sin, and not be led into death. But the Corinthians were convinced they were doing the right thing. They were convinced they were super spiritual people. They had become puffed up with pride. And they were refusing to listen to what God had to say even though Paul had said it very clearly to them. That's why they were in such great danger. And if they persisted in that sin, it would be a sin that would lead them into death. And so that's why Paul seeks to correct them in our reading for today. He wants to show them the truth so that they can turn and repent. And since they were struggling with these factions and these divisions among them, he shows them the truth by clarifying what it means to be a pastor. Apollos, he says, is nothing. Paul himself is nothing. They are merely servants in the hands of God. As he says in verse 7, "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." A true minister of Christ, he says, is not going to make of himself something more than what he is. Nor should he be turned into something that he is not. He is a servant of God. And Paul compares the work of a pastor to a building. The one who first speaks the gospel is like the one who lays the foundation. And everyone that comes after him is building on top of that foundation, each one contributing a part to the whole. But in the end, it's just one building. Because the foundation is Jesus Christ. And the building is the temple of God. And through these pastors, God is at work from beginning to end. A pastor is going to be judged for his work. That is true. Shoddy work will be revealed by fire on the last day. But if God alone gives the growth, Christians, and if we are God's building, and not the building of men, then there is no reason to boast in men. There's no reason, he says to the Corinthians, to divide up your congregation in this way. What they needed to do was to repent. To repent of their factions. Repent of their divisions. Repent of their pride. And when they repent, that sin, as serious as it was, would no longer lead to death, because they would find free and full forgiveness in the Lord their God. Christians, we ought to be on guard against our sins at all times. Sin is something which can so easily deceive us. It can convince us that we are doing the right thing, even against our better judgment. It can convince us that we are right, even when our conscience tells us that we were wrong. And sin can lead us astray to go against God's will. And then sin can even make us obstinate, to make us stubborn, so that we refuse to give in. So that we refuse to confess that sin and to turn away from it. Sin in that case will lead into death, especially when we refuse to admit that we were deceived. But through the grace of God, Christians, we can confess our sins. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can repent and turn away from them. By the power of the Spirit, we can admit that we have done what we shouldn't have done, and that we have not done what we should have. By the power of the Spirit, I can say, I indeed am a sinner. I have done what is wrong, and I know that what I did was wrong. But I also know that I have a Savior who will forgive my sins. And when we call on Jesus in true faith, we will find forgiveness through his blood, so that our sin will not lead us into death. Therefore, Christians, repent, confess your sins, and call on the Lord Jesus Christ, so that, as John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, forgive us our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Do not let us harden ourselves against you, but soften us to always follow after you, to do what is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.